From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the ninth day of October 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. And along the way, we'll hear from U of I agronomist Emerson Napsiger. He'll help us discern just how much damage might be done to the corn crop when, if the freeze comes in the next week to the Midwest. And don't forget, it's USDA Crop Production Report Day on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat at $4.68, down 6 cents today. The March at $4.87.5, 5 and 3 quarters lower. And the May contract at 501 and 3 quarters, down 5 and a quarter. July futures 516 and a quarter, down 3 and 3 quarters. From the corn pit, December contract 362 and a quarter, down a penny and 3 quarters. The March futures at 374 and a half, down 1 and 3 quarters. And the May contract at 383, down a penny and 3 quarters. July corn 390 and a half, down 1 and 3 quarters. And September futures 398, down 2 cents. December of next year at 405 and a quarter. Down 3.5 cents on this Friday afternoon. Soy complex November beans, $9.65, down 28 cents, or rather up 28 cents. January at 967, up 27 and 3 quarters. The March beans at 968, 27 and a quarter higher. And the May futures at 964 and a half, 25 and a quarter higher. Next year's November at 949. Up 13 and a quarter on the afternoon. And the numbers for the products: October bean meal futures, 310.30, up $7.60. October bean oil at 34.91, 63 cents higher. October live cattle futures, 82.62 and a half, up 75 cents. December contract in the live cattle, 84.95, up 62 and a half. October feeders at 94.17 and a half, up 20. November's at 94.47 and a half. 67 and a half cents higher. And the lean hogs now, October contract there, $50.85, down 17 and a half. December futures down 75 cents at $52.77 and a half cents. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $71.77 a barrel, up 8 cents on the day. Ethanol in the lead option at $1.82.04, down 1 and 4 tenths. And the natural gas at $4.76.04, 19 and 9 tenths lower. RBOB in the November contract, $1.77.5, down 4 tenths of a cent. Heating oil, November diesel fuel, that is, at $1.86.02, up a penny and a half. And November propane futures at 99 cents even, just about 3 tenths of a cent higher on the day. Gold futures at $1,047.80. Settlement price down $7.60. And the Dow currently trading 52 points higher at 9,839. The U.S. dollar at 76.43 is 0.46 higher on the afternoon. And the CRB index today at 262.55. is down 1.36 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. As prepared by our own staff meteorologist, it says a flash flood watch is in effect for portions of central and to southern Illinois, that until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Of course, that one has expired. And then a flood watch, freeze warning rather, is in effect for Joe Davie, Stevenson, and Carroll counties in northwestern Illinois from 1 to 9 a.m., on Saturday, a frost advisory in effect for the rest of northern Illinois away from Lake Michigan and for Newton and Jasper counties in northwestern Indiana early on Saturday morning. And a freeze watch is in effect for northwestern parts and west central parts of Illinois for late Saturday night through Sunday morning. We'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and we talk with Steve Hilberg.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Friday afternoon. We're always joined by Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, you sound a little different today, so we probably ought to talk about that, and then we've got a lot else to talk about, too. You're on Skype with me and not actually the telephone today, so computer to computer, and if things change, I'll get back to you by a landline, okay?
You guys are dragging me kicking and screaming up the technological path, Todd.
Well, we'll see how things go. Speaking of the tech path, USDA must believe that the tech path is awfully good for the corn crop because they raised it again today in their crop production numbers, a 13.018 billion bushel corn crop, beans a 325, and the traded expected a 3291. USDA's numbers, by the way, 3245 billion in September for their beans. And their crop number in September was a 12.955. So those numbers changed a bit this morning. What did you think of them when they came out?
Well, the numbers in corn seemed like they were pretty high, given the fact that we did have quite a few acres left to harvest here, coming in at 10% this past week. I thought maybe that the yield numbers, they'd play a little bit more conservatively. But I do have to acknowledge, Todd, they did come in and pull back ears, and I'm sure the number around and the kernel counts were really, really high. And in fact, they sent out some information after the report that did confirm that. So I think at this point they're probably at the top end of the yield. It's coming back to when talking to Chicago today and watching the price action today, you've got to wonder whether this yield number today is the biggest yield number we're going to see and whether this yield number is now obsolete if the weather comes through as advertised, mainly because the upper Midwest states were the states where the USDA bumped up the yield so high. We had Michigan up 7 bushels versus last month, Minnesota up 3, Iowa at a record 188 up 1 bushels, Nebraska up 9 at a record 179, and North and South Dakota both up 3 bushels an acre versus last month. I think all those states are on the table now, and I think maybe Chicago feels the same way. Maybe they played it a little bit safely, though, in terms of the trading price action and wanted to confirm that we were going to get a hard freeze on Sunday morning. And maybe that's where Sunday night's going to be the real excitement in corn.
Well, how much damage do you really think can be done? I've seen estimates of about 100 million bushels. Do you think it's bigger than that?
Yeah, I think the trade's probably at 200 to 300 million based upon conversations I've had in Chicago this week. When you take a 13 billion bushel crop and you say that 10% is harvested, and then you say that 40% of that could get hurt, and you factor in that 40% could take a 20% hit on test weights when it's all said and done, then you're talking about something in the line of 800 to 900 million bushels. So I think clearly the trade, by keeping the corn in tow today and not really wanting to take it up and test the weekly highs, it's probably still back there at that 200 to 300 million bushel level. But I think that number could grow depending on how cold it actually gets. I think that's where some of this disease pressure that we're seeing is going to be another factor. And it just points, both all these factors just point to me that the cash market and the elevators and the commercials are really going to dictate when the lows are in and how high can go.
Well, how high can go. We haven't heard that for a while. But maybe let's start back up with this disease just a bit as well. So we've got a couple of things that are really happening in the field, I suppose. One is that USDA says there's a big crop out there. The second is that big crop hasn't come to maturity, and we've got a freeze in the works for this weekend, and certainly by the end of the week next week, we should have all of the everything done. Season should end across the Midwest.
Right.
And then we've got a lot of disease problems out there that I'm not sure that we've really come to grips with, although maybe some of that was driving what was happening up front. Have you talked to many people about diplodia and stalk rots and other ear rots that are in the field and where that's bad and where it's not bad? What kind of information are you hearing?
producers are becoming more aware of it because they're checking their fields, because they're hearing about it from neighbors or from their agronomists. But I would say that Chicago, by and large, doesn't have any clue yet. And that would make sense, given that we only had 10% of the crop out on Monday. A lot of the crop is just too green. You know, it's interesting. I've been talking all week with producers, and just today I got a really good email from a producer client that had gotten from his agronomist about the diplodia and the gibberella in particular. It's very thick based upon clients that I've talked to in the Tuscola area, Jacksonville area, and Terre Haute area, Clay City area. It seems like as you go south of I-70 and you get into that Route 36 area and on south, it becomes very, very heavy and very much a concern. And we're talking about yield potential losses of 15, 20, 25 bushels when it's all said and done, especially if they have the gibberella, from what the agronomist email I read today. So I don't think the trade really knows much about it yet because we simply haven't harvested enough crop. The same client in the Clay City area has a brother in eastern Iowa. He has been talking about it this week with his brother. But the brother said right away, he said, I don't know how much is out there because we're still green as a gourd and way too wet to harvest anything and shell any corn right now. So it's just an unknown out there, but it's starting to become more and more known in the producer level.
I suppose we'll know more as we move along. Anything in the way of advice you want to pass along to producers today?
Well, I'm going to keep the puts recommended in corn until I see how the wheat acts. You know, the wheat was the disappointment of the day. I mean, we continue to see production go up. And year to date, we've got about 11% less production, Todd, but we still have about 32% more ending stocks when it's all said and done. So the production number going up today really hurt because our demand is just not catching yet. And we've got this Saudi Arabian tender that we're not sure if we're going to be a part of. We really need that next week if they take on any of that 550,000 tons of wheat. I think overall, it was nice to see that the wheat did close up about 26.75 for the week. And so it's not a terrible mess and like it could have been from earlier today, but I have a feeling that maybe the corn and beans are helping keep the wheat propped up right now. But it sure would be nice to get the wheat to find some stability here without the row crops helping. But today's report would say that's just not likely. So I'm going to keep the puts for now. The beans, I really think that if we do have a hard freeze in those upper Midwest levels and west of the Mississippi, I think Monday was a harvest low in the November beans.
All right, Mike, on that note, I'll let you go. And thanks for coming along for the ride on the tech side with us today. I appreciate that a lot.
You betcha. We'll be firing up the Prius and heading over there right now.
Okay, see you soon.
All right.
That's Mike Zuzalo. He is with Global Commodity Analytics out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Friday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Friday afternoon. Emerson Napsiger is here to discuss with us today just exactly what might happen if a freeze were to come to the Midwest this weekend and through the next week. I suppose more likely that when the freeze comes to the Midwest this next week, what'll happen to the corn crop? So, Emerson, what are your thoughts?
How far along the crop is depends on where you are in Illinois. In the southern half of the state, most of the crop is past the chance for a lot of damage if the season ends now. It does look fairly likely that it will end now. The temperatures are forecast through the central part of the state into the upper 20s for sure sometime within the next week. And we're not getting growing degree day accumulations. Highs in the 50s and so on isn't really doing much for the crop anyway, especially when it's raining all day long. So the crop is kind of limp to an end here, like it or not. We would have preferred to have October be nice and sunny and warm like September was to get the crop to come down and reach its end sort of naturally, but I guess we'll have to take what we get. The frost in the northern part of the state isn't really coming extra early, but it's coming after a cool season when we had late planting, and so the crop isn't nearly in the position it normally would be by this time of the year. How much damage is going to be done is a little difficult to estimate simply because we haven't been in this situation before. I think in my 28 years, we haven't really seen much of the crop threatened by frost ever. And that tells you how unusual this year is. It's certainly not because we're using longer season hybrids or varieties or anything like that. In fact, I think that we've actually shortened those up a little bit and probably has given us an advantage from that standpoint. When you look at the growing degree day accumulations, it's no mystery why the crop is behind. Crop planted in, corn planted in late May in northern Illinois simply hasn't had enough growing degree days to get done. And our estimate is that some of that crop lacks maybe 300 growing degree days from what it should have in order to reach its normal conclusion. Needing 300 growing degree days means that the milk line is probably about a fourth of the way down or so. Reports I've heard some of the crop isn't even quite that far along. That would probably be those planted after June 1. And also, in some cases, the hybrids that were planted that were fairly late in maturity. We've gotten into the habit of planting relatively late maturities in some places in northern Illinois because these are the hybrids that do really well for companies, say, in the central part of the state. And it's worked fairly well when we get them planted on time and we get normal temperatures. In a year like this, a few people will probably be wishing they had thought about that 102 or 105 day hybrid once it got to late May instead of sticking with the 110 or 112 day hybrid that they did. If they did stick with the 110 day hybrid, that's a little bit late for late planting, but our advice is to change hybrids fairly slowly and reluctantly as planting gets later. But once it got past June 1, we probably should, the next time, change to something that's at least not late for maturity for our area. The amount of damage that's going to be done by the season coming to an end now is completely dependent on how much fill the kernels have yet to do. You can gauge that by looking at the milk line and seeing how far down it is. And if we don't have a milk line yet, meaning the corn is just in beginning dent, or hopefully there isn't much, but even still in late dough stage, the yield loss is going to be pretty substantial there. The crop can lose 25% to 30% of its yield if it doesn't have a milk line, or if the milk line's just starting and it comes to a complete halt at that point. There is a difference between a frost and a freeze, and that is that a frost is what we'd consider would kill the leaves but let the rest of the plant sort of intact, so it could move some of the sugars from the stalk still into the kernels. A freeze is one that would just pretty much bring a halt to all processes in the plant, and it would just basically yield what it had in the kernels at that point. Freeze is most likely, I think, from the weather forecast that we've seen, at least in the northern part of the state. If it gets below 28 degrees for a few hours, that's generally enough to freeze the plant and bring everything to a stop. Those would be extreme examples, missing 20 or 25% of the yield. I think the latest fields that have the least developed kernels might suffer yield losses of that size. Much more common will be kernels that have the milk line three-fourths of the way down, maybe even more than that, certainly more than half of the way down. And the yield losses actually decrease more than the milk line moving down would suggest. Part of that is just the shape of the kernel. If you look at what's to fill with a half milk line and then at a milk line that's three-fourths of the way down, you notice that as it tapers towards the base, there's just less dry matter to put in there at that point. So that's got the milk line at least three-fourths of the way down, and that's going to grab most of the corn that's still out there, still green. Those yield losses are going to be pretty minimal. We would think maybe 5-10% would catch most of those. The other point I'd make is that a lot of these kernels have put a lot of weight in. The comments we're hearing is that kernels are deep, very well formed. They were clearly on their way to some seriously high yields here. If this was a month earlier, we probably would have realized those. But the crop has done a really good job with the cool weather and the adequate moisture we've had this year. And so we may be looking at some yield loss from the frost coming at this point, but I think even in those fields, the yields will be high in most cases.
Our thanks to Emerson Napsiger. He's an agronomist at the University of Illinois. If you'd like to read more about his thoughts on a freeze and what damage it might do to the corn crop here in the Midwest, you can do that online anytime you'd like at ipm.uiuc.edu/bulletin. Again, just search Google. It's probably easier for Illinois, comma, bulletin. That's the first thing that comes up.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Friday afternoon. On the line with us, Bruce Bostard. He's the general manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company's 10 locations and is located in Ludlow, Illinois. Hi, how are you doing today, Bruce?
Great. Hey, it's another beautiful sunny day in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it is. So earlier today, I gave you a call and I said, Bruce, tell me about the dock schedule or discount schedule for Diplodia, FM, all those kinds of things, and how that's changed. On the idea of whether what I was wondering at the point was if the grain handling industry was bracing itself for a really poor quality crop. What'd you find out?
The market is getting ready for it. The biggest problem has been in the river and the export market. Basically, a lot of the corn that got carried over was bin bottoms. It was corn that was probably put away maybe a little wetter than it should have been. Last fall, trying to keep the doors open, and as we were getting to the bottoms, a lot of elevators found some damage in that. So the market was already saturated with damage, and then the last thing it needed was diplodia out there, so damage coming out of the field in the new crop corn.
Yeah, so but it found that, at least in some of the early new crop corn, right?
Found that in some of the early new crop corn. So the market was saturated, so you started seeing the river taking higher discount schedules to discourage that damage and trying to shove it somewhere else. So then it's like the pebble in the pond and the ripples coming out. So that was the first step. Then you started seeing some of the processor markets, the Peoria Pecan processor markets, increasing their discounts on damage because they turned into the dumping ground for damaged corn, and then rippling out from there. Right in our area, we haven't seen much corn harvest yet. We've been primarily focused on beans. The samples we're seeing coming in and the field reports don't show a whole lot of it yet, and we're hoping that's the case. In our case, on CN trains, the train has to average 5% damage. So it's not a case of running a 7% or a 9% train at some discount. They just won't take it. So then you have to find a different market and a second best price type market. So that's where the discounts would come in there. We haven't changed anything and are hoping we don't have to.
Thanks much, Bert.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. DuPage County health officials say the death of a 14-year-old Naperville North High School student was related to swine flu. The Chicago Tribune reports on its website that the coroner's office has not determined the cause of the girl's death. The newspaper quotes a health department spokesman saying the girl's death Thursday is the first swine flu-related fatality in the county. The death, if officially counted as a swine flu case, would push the state's fatalities from the H1N1 virus to 20. Three other Illinois swine flu deaths were in children younger than 19. Illinois Department of Public Health is reporting 23 swine flu hospitalizations in its weekly update. bringing the number of people hospitalized with swine flu in Illinois to 471 since April. Another healthcare facility has canceled some flu shot clinics because of low vaccine supplies. Carl Clinic says its flu clinic scheduled for October 12th through the 18th at its Curtis Road location won't be held. The clinic says it's now received its requested number of doses, and lots of people have already come in for their seasonal flu shot. Carl expects to get enough vaccine to resume clinics in November and December, which a spokesman says will be effective for the upcoming flu season. Earlier this week, Christie Clinic also canceled October flu clinics. The leader of a Chicago Muslim advocacy group says she's pleased President Barack Obama received the Nobel Peace Prize, but she's waiting for follow-through on pledges for Middle East peace and ending wars. Christina Abraham is a director at the Chicago branch of the Council on American-Islamic Relations. She says Obama was awarded the prize based on promise and not for his achievements so far. In announcing the award this morning, the Norwegian Nobel Committee praised the change in global mood brought on by Obama's calls for peace and his initiatives to ease tensions with the Muslim world. Illinois farmers already behind in their corn and soybean harvest could face negative returns on their crops this year because of higher production costs. That's the assessment of U of I agricultural economist Gary Schnitke. He says central Illinois farmers will see negative returns on corn and beans this year for the first time since 1990. He says net returns could be a loss of $8 per acre of corn and $15 for soybeans, with a projected loss statewide amounting to $98 million for corn and $136.5 million for soybeans. The reasons include the high cost of fertilizer and seed that went into this year's crops. I'm Jeff Bossert.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. It is a Friday afternoon. Jim Angel now joins us from the Illinois State Water Survey, where he serves as the state climatologist. Hi, Jim. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Todd.
We have a lot to talk about. Let's start first with the rainfall, and then we can move to the cold temperatures. How much rainfall, and where is it heaviest?
Yeah, if you look at across the state of Illinois, Northern Illinois, the amounts we've got in the last couple of days are on the order of 1 to 2 inches. Here in the central part of the state, it's more like 3 to 4. And we actually have some areas in southern Illinois that got even more than that. So very wet conditions across the state. And, you know, the soils are already fairly wet anyway. So this is, we've had, you know, some flash flood warnings and watches out there. So it's created quite a mess out there in the fields.
And then we have freezes to talk about over the weekend and then in the coming week. What do you see?
Yeah, if you look at the forecast, I think starting tonight, we're going to start seeing at least the chance of frost in northern Illinois, especially tonight. They're looking at lows in the low to mid 30s tonight. Here in central Illinois, maybe just a little bit warmer. And it kind of depends on if this cloud cover clears out or not in time. But I think Saturday night, Sunday morning is going to be when the hammer is going to drop. We're going to see very cold temperatures in the northern half of, or northern third of Illinois, probably 28 degrees or less north of I-80. Central Illinois is probably going to be in the low 30s. And maybe the only place that might escape the bite of frost will be far southern Illinois. And that story will continue throughout this week with several additional nights of freezing temperatures in the northern part of the state. Central Illinois may be getting a little bit warmer as they move on into the next week with lows in more like the upper 30s. So that might protect us a little bit. But I think we're going to see some frost around much of central and northern Illinois at this rate, and even some freezing temperature, or really freezing, hard freezing temperature.
Yeah, so an end of the growing season, you think, for the bulk of the state or not?
Yeah, I think probably the northern two-thirds, it'll pretty much signal the end. I think southern Illinois may dodge the bullet with this round, but, you know, it's just a matter of time now that they'll start to get cold enough that they'll even drop below freezing at probably in the next week or so.
And for central and northern Illinois, do you know how many growing degree days we're lagging behind?
You know, offhand, I haven't checked it lately, but it's certainly has been running pretty far behind. And, you know, the last week or two, we've been running about 5 or 6 degrees below normal. So, you know, and the highs are only barely getting up into the 50s and maybe in the 60-degree range, you're not accumulating too many days at this rate.
All right, Jim. Thanks much.
You're welcome.
Hey, Jim Angel is the Illinois State climatologist joining us here on the Closing Mark Report on this Friday afternoon. Thanks for being along with us, and you have a very good weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.